This is Greening of the Great Lakes, and I'm Russ White in for Kirk Heinze. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show John Vieira, Ford's Director of Global Sustainability. Ford has just updated its annual sustainability report for 2016-17, and John's back with us to discuss how Ford, as the report says, is creating a future where everyone moves better. And John will talk about some of the report's highlights this year. John, great to have you back.
Hey, Russ, glad to be back. It's always great to be on your show.
So we'll unpack some of those details, John, but tell me in general, kind of what does that mean that Ford is creating a future where everyone moves better?
Yeah, it's a great question, because when we talk about Ford as an auto company and moving people, you know, we always think about, okay, what kind of products are you going to come out with? Because people buy your products and that's how they move around. And we're going to continue to do that, Russell. I'm not saying we're backing away from that. We're going to continue to do that. But we also need to think about the fact that many people don't own vehicles, right? And they need to move around. And we've heard about, you know, services like the Ubers of the world and others that are moving people around, and in some cases very efficiently. And from a Ford perspective, we think we have some really good solutions to move people around as well. So when we talk about basically creating a world where people move better, it could be through purchase of vehicles, but it could mean the services that we're going to be getting into to help people move around better as well.
That's great, John, and we'll unpack some of those details in a minute. I want to highlight for people that it looks like this year's report sort of has three main theme areas: the climate change challenge, delivering our electrification plans, and good decisions behind the wheel. So, John, beginning with climate change challenge, you know, what are those key challenges from the Ford perspective and some of the solutions you're working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So Russ, you know, I think it was back in 2005 where, you know, we as a company, and actually it was Bill Ford that came out and said, hey, climate change is real, man has an impact, and we need to do our share in terms of mitigating, right, the negative effects of climate change. And it was actually back then where we put together what we called our Blueprint for Sustainability, which I think I talked about on this show, Russ, probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. But that was really all about what do we need to be doing with our products and our manufacturing facilities to lower the amount of CO2 that we're putting out in the atmosphere so that we're doing our share to mitigate the effects of climate change. And we continue to be on that journey, Russ. A big part of that is to get into electrification and some other modes of transportation, but we're absolutely committed to doing our share in terms of reducing the impact on climate change.
And Jen, we'll get to electrification in a minute, but you're doing a lot with water, which is important to all of us here in the Great Lakes.
Russ, I am so glad you brought that up, because this is our 18th sustainability report, so we've been doing it a while, and it's interesting because the first report actually came out about the time that Bill Ford became CEO of Ford Motor Company back in the year 2000, and one of his initial initiatives was to really respect and reduce, have an aggressive plan to reduce the amount of water that we use in our facilities. And it was interesting because, you know, when I travel throughout the country, for sure, and even globally, people say, you know, Ford, why is Ford interesting? You have so much water in Michigan and around you. Why are you overly concerned about water use? And I think it's because we have the Great Lakes around us and how much we appreciate that fresh water resource, that it's imperative to us that we respect that fresh water, and we want to make sure in our facilities we're doing everything we can, right, to reduce that amount of fresh water that we're using. So in the report this year, we talk about joining what is called the Business Alliance for Water and Climate, and it's just a water security initiative that really focuses companies on doing real good actions to reduce the amount of water in their facilities. And we're the first automaker to join it. We have a great track record. So going back 18 years, you know, we've saved over 11 billion gallons of water in our plants, Russ.
Wow.
And to put that in perspective, 11 billion gallons is equal to about the amount of water that goes over Niagara Falls every 4 hours. It's a lot of water, and we're really driving toward more water reductions. You know, this initiative is going to help us out, and our ultimate goal really is to really drive towards zero drinkable water used in our facility. So basically, we're just reusing all of our water, and that's a goal we have not only in Michigan but throughout the world, and I really believe we're going to be a leader in that space. So a big part of the report is focused on that.
And, John, delivering on your electrification plans is another major theme of Ford's annual sustainability report. How so, and why is electrification important?
Yeah, so very good, Russ. Well, you know, kind of getting back to climate change. So as we think about the types of vehicles that we're going to be putting out, you know, now and in the future, we need to rely a lot less on vehicles that use fossil fuels and more vehicles that use, let's say, electricity or hydrogen. And we have a lot of efforts going on in the electrification space. You know, we announced a while ago, and I think I talked about it last year, where we're investing $4.5 billion, right, by 2020. On a lot of our electrification efforts, and a couple of products in particular. So we've announced that we're going to be coming out with a 300-mile range small SUV, so all battery electric, right? And that's going to be coming out in the next several years. And that's important because it's a huge growing segment. So we're really excited about that. But the other areas that we're excited about, Russ, are areas that we're strong in. So we're going to have a hybrid version of the F-150. A hybrid version of the Mustang, and we actually have two hybrid police vehicle applications that are out there right now.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes. I'm Russ White sitting in for Kirk Heinze, and my guest is John Vieira. He's Ford's Director of Global Sustainability, and Ford is just recently out with its annual sustainability report. We're discussing so many of the ways Ford is trying to leave this planet better than they have found it. And John, we were talking about electrification, which sort of leads into the whole mobility for a better world section. And, you know, someone like you is immersed in mobility, and Kirk and I talk a lot about it on this show. But maybe for a lot of people still, what are you talking about when you talk about mobility, and how does it go about making a better world?
Great, Russ. Yeah, so let me talk about mobility. So mobility is really all about moving people and goods, and let's just kind of stay with people right now. You know, I think here in the U.S. and for most of us, we think about mobility, again, as that personal use vehicle, owning a vehicle, and that's how we get around. But when you think about globally, and particularly in some of the developing countries like China and India, those folks there aren't going to all have the ability to buy personal use vehicles. They're just not. So the question is going to be, they're still going to have the need to move around to get, you know, the doctor's appointments, or, you know, going into the city for different services, or just moving around. And if they can't own the vehicle, how are those folks going to get around? And what we want to be able to do from a Ford perspective is think about what kind of services can we provide that allows everybody to move around and be mobile, particularly those people that can't own a vehicle. And that's really a new space that we're really focusing on right now when we talk about mobility. It's non-vehicle ownership mobility of people.
And John, that's, I think, when we talk about connected and autonomous, and maybe you can explain the difference there. And I think this scares the heck out of some people, as I think you know, and some of the shows Kirk and I have done on it, the technology will probably be there long before the laws and sort of the social acceptance catch up. But that's part of what this mobility is, right? The connected and the autonomous vehicles.
You know, absolutely. Because when you think about the connected piece, if all the vehicles are connected to each other and are able to speak to each other, first of all, you're going to have a very safe environment, right? Because you're going to really get rid of driver error for a lot of accidents. And, you know, this is a future look, but it's probably going to get here sooner than we think. So we really love that connected piece because we have what we call smart vehicles. And the autonomous element, when you think about it, Kirk, I mentioned that not everybody is going to own a vehicle. And, you know, frankly, Kirk, even folks that are able to drive, you know, own a vehicle might not be able to drive a vehicle. And when you think about an autonomous vehicle, think about folks that, you know, don't have the ability to drive. They could be elderly or disabled. Autonomous vehicles brings a whole nother set of opportunities to move people around, and that's why we're so excited about it.
And John, there's a section that intrigued me in Ford's annual sustainability report, good decisions behind the wheel, with a note that driver safety is not just about making vehicles safer, but promoting safer behavior through a range of technologies. How so?
Yeah, so as we think about moving toward an autonomous vehicle, Russ, you know, a lot of the features we have on the cars today are, we almost call them semi-autonomous, right? So you have features on your vehicle, for instance, adaptive cruise control, where you get on the highway, you set your cruise control, and it will actually adjust the speed if you're getting too close to the vehicle ahead of you. We have features that as you're getting out of the lane, out of your lane, if you're drifting out of your lane, it will actually give you a signal, in our case, through the steering wheel, to let you know that, hey, you're drifting a little bit. You need to get back on track. And then we have some braking features as well that will actually start loading the brakes and start slowing down the vehicle as you get too close to a particular object. So it's those types of safety features that we're already seeing in vehicles, and it's really, Russ, the first step in terms of getting to a full autonomy.
Interesting. John Vieira is my guest on Greening of the Great Lakes. He's Ford's Director of Global Sustainability, and we're talking about the company's just out annual sustainability report for 2016-17. And John, sustainability is arguably, we'd agree, one of the most important words of our time. In a way, it's become sort of a buzzword too. And I'm, again, from your Ford perspective, you know, what does that word mean to you and the Ford Motor Company?
Russ, I get that question asked often, and I like to put it in this kind of a context. I think about sustainability having three legs of a stool. There's the environmental element of sustainability, the social element of sustainability, and then the business element of sustainability. Clearly, everybody understands the business element, right? Businesses are in the business of making money, and that's very important. You're not going to be around very long if you're not going to be making money on a continuous basis. But when we talk about the environmental and social aspect, true sustainability combines all three. So yes, you want to be able to make money as a company, but you have to do it in an environmentally conscious way. So your products have to have less of an impact on the environment. As a matter of fact, you want them to have a positive impact on the environment. When you think about the social side, you have to deliver on the social element as well, because in our case, if our vehicles are going to be unaffordable to people, then socially you now have priced out a lot of people the ability to own and move around themselves. So we need to be socially conscious. And for those folks that, as I mentioned, in China and India, that might not be able to buy a vehicle, we still need to think about how to move those folks around. I think we have an obligation to society, right, using our brain power and our technology to move those folks around as well, and that's socially responsible. Yes, making money, but do it in an environmentally responsible way and do it in a socially responsible way. Those three together really constitute true sustainability.
Well said, John. And you know, when President Trump pulled the United States out of the Paris Accord, Mr. Ford was pretty prompt with a statement calling it disappointing news. And he went on to say, quote, "Ford believes climate change is real. I want to assure each of you that we remain deeply committed to better fuel economy, electrification, sustainable facilities, and other strategies that will help reduce greenhouse gas emissions," end quote. Just your thought as a Ford sustainability employee yourself on that ethos that Mr. Ford described there.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Russ, because I mentioned earlier on in our conversation here that it was back in 2005 that Mr. Ford came out with the statement that climate change is real. This is well before the Paris Accord, and he actually put Ford on a path in terms of doing actions on our products and in our manufacturing facilities, right, to reduce the impact we have on climate. So with the U.S. either being in or out of the Paris Accord, for us, we're going to continue on that path regardless. And, that's what our focus is going to be, continue on that same path we developed back in 2005, and we're not slowing down.
That's good news, John. Hey, I've got to ask you, partly because my daughter is one of these people, but I think there's a lot of young people intrigued with sustainability and getting into that in their employment careers somehow, and I'm just wondering, as this field evolves and as we said is a little bit of a buzzword, what's your advice for young people who think they want to get involved in some way in the sustainability world?
Well, it's a fantastic field. I think there's tremendous opportunities. When I say tremendous opportunities, Russ, for your daughter and others that are interested, you know, there are clearly actually some organizations that all they focus on is sustainability. And oftentimes those organizations do a lot of consulting work with companies. It could be like Ford or smaller companies. And so that's, you know, a direct involvement in the sustainability space. You have a lot of environmental groups and nonprofit organizations organizations that are also very active in the sustainability space, where they do a tremendous job with communities, right, you know, throughout the world. But, I mean, like even in Detroit, right, there are several organizations that are focusing on sustainability as it affects both the environment and the people within Detroit. So that's a space. But also, individuals can go into any company, and while they might not be in the specific sustainability area, it's amazing at how many opportunities there are within the company to work on sustainability types of initiatives within that company without being in a core sustainability organization itself. So just tremendous amounts of opportunity.
And John, before I let you go, there's a lot in this comprehensive report. It's Ford's annual sustainability report for 2016-17. Is there anything you'd like to highlight that I didn't bring up? There's a lot in there, and people can Google the report and read it themselves. But is there something you'd like to mention or just summarize some key takeaways?
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to mention is, you know, we talk a lot about what Ford's doing. And I think where companies, Russ, could have even a broader impact on the environment and on society, right, kind of getting back to that definition of sustainability, is to go beyond the four walls of that company. And something that we've been doing very aggressively is working with our supply base, right? And so when you think about the footprint of our supply base, you know, 10 times plus the size of Ford, and we're able to take a lot of our environmental initiatives in particular and the water initiatives and share those best practices with our suppliers, who in turn are sharing those best practices with their suppliers. And you could see the multiplier effect that we could have by sharing those best practices, you know, with our supply base. And our suppliers have done a tremendous job picking up those types of initiatives and truly making a difference in their businesses and the businesses that they actually interface with. And we're really proud of that.
Well, John, and congratulations on another great report. Kirk and I have been doing this show almost 9 years, and your blueprint we still think was one of the best we've ever seen, as are your annual updates and just your overall commitment. So congrats, and thanks again for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Russ, and it's always great to be on a show with either yourself, Russ, or Kirk. It's a real honor. So thank you again for having us.